Okay, on that note, can you just close our eyes? Lord, thank you, Lord, that you say the joy of the Lord is our strength, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that we love you, Lord God, and this morning we surrender to you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that you're a good God, Lord, and we just bless you this morning, Lord God, and we thank you for what you've done in our lives, Lord God, just for the, Lord God, for the blessing that you've given us, Lord God, that, Lord, that you to say this morning, Lord God, that we must trust in you, Lord God, because you are our help, Lord God, you are our shield, Lord God, Lord, that you say we must trust in you, Lord God, because you're our help and you're our shield, Lord God, and those who fear in you, Lord God, and trust in you, to them you will help and you'll protect them, Lord God. And Father, that you this morning say that you will bless those who fear you, Lord God, both small and great, Lord God, and that you will give an increase more to those, Lord God, to them and their children, Lord God, because they fear you and they put their trust in you, Lord. We just bless you this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being present here with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, my Sid. Thank you, worship band. And I just want to say thank you to the volunteers this morning as well. Genevieve just said that was amazing, the spirit that they brought into the service, how they just served and they helped. And she said that it was a completely different spirit, that she could feel how the Spirit of God was here this morning. So thank you very much. And I also want to say that I'm really excited. I'm just a bit sad that everyone sits over there. So we're just going to continue moving forward every time because everyone is moving more backwards. So in future, everyone is allowed to sit there. We're not going to pack chairs out there in the back. Neil, do my guns and come sit here for us, please. I know your name. And Gerard, I can feel you can call. Please come and sit more forward, please. Robbie and Peter. All the guys that I know. Now everyone starts looking down. Patrick, come. You and Louisa can come and sit here as well. Dirk, Jan, and come sit here, please. Then Queen Rebellion. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Ursula. Thank you. Now I can move backwards. I named them because they're my brothers and sisters, and we heard all of that last week. And I just want to continue a little bit. This is not part of my sermon, but I want to continue with what Andries was saying about family and that we are a family, and a good family have relationship, they have function, and they have purpose. And relationship is that we love one another, and that people on the outside will know that we are God's disciples because of the love that we have for one another. And if there's no love in us, we don't know God. Karel, kom sit hier agter. Yes, so focus hou. Jy kan nie alleenig sit hè. Vang ek jou nou lekker uit, nee. Kom sit hom aan die kant. Dat ek jou oog op jou kan hou. Yes, so vang ek jou nou lekker daarso. That if we love people, people will know. Sila, jy's nou net gelukkig. Ek sien hoe goed dak jy nou daarso. That if we love people, God's love is in us. If we hate people, God's love is not in us. So if you have anything against your brother, then you don't even know God. But I want to ask you this morning, Philippians 4 verse 13 says that we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. We can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. Ons is in alles in staat, die Christus wat ons krag gee. Who of you believe that God can use 12 men and change the whole of this town? And then Western Cape, before you raise your hands, and then South Africa, and from South Africa, Africa, and probably the rest of the world. If you believe that, can you stand up, please? Okay, now the big question is, do you believe that you can be one of those 12 men? If you don't, I want you to sit down. Sure, I'm amazed. I actually thought not so many people will stand because a friend of mine did it at his ministry and he said only one guy out of 10, 12 believed that God can do it, can change this country. So thank you very much for your faithfulness and your faith in God and what God can do through you. Vision, we talked about relationship, God's love, and this is something we want to emphasize all the time. Function, we talked about function, but Andrew started talking about purpose, and I just want to touch on purpose for Shofar Church, which also means our church in Somerset West. The vision of our church is Matthew 28. It's to all authority has been given to Jesus. In his name, we go. We make disciples. Thank you, Jan, for bringing that up this morning. We baptize them. 7 minutes for Alpha Pete. He struggled for 6.5 minutes, but we had to keep him down until he died completely. Then we laid hands on him, and God revived him. So he completely died to his old man, and now his new man is alive. So we baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then we teach them to observe all that Jesus have commanded. And behold, the Afrikaans say, in cake, I'll be with you until the end of the age. Until the voleinding van die wereld. That is the vision for Shofar Church. The purpose statement is to reach nations and generations with disciple making, leadership training, and church planting. So for us as a church, start praying, where are we going to plant the new church? Somerset West is going to plant the church. Maybe Nzamo, maybe, I don't want to say Gordon's Bay, maybe a bit too close. Grabouw, Verliesdorp. We start praying about that already. We're going to do outreaches. We're going to go to these places. We're going to start praying there. We're going to start ask God for vision. Where are we going to plant the next church? And I'm not talking about 10 years. I'm talking about 2-3 years maybe. But as God leads us to do. The core values is we have a passion for Jesus. We are passionate about Jesus. That's why sometimes Dion will come up and psych us up to become passionate for Jesus. People to serve. We love people. Power of belief, just the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, and purpose to pursue. That each one of us have a purpose, as you've all seen, to reach nations. We all understand it, and we all grow to learn more about that. But there's a few points that I just want to touch this morning. It's not really part of my sermon, but just the first one is unity and vision. We've got a lot of things that we are interested in, but that all of us have one thing in understanding, that our vision is to reach the nations. To reach outward, we focus outward. That is what we do. So if you have other interests, know if you're part of this body, our heart is to disciple people, to reach nations, to plant churches. For that, obedience to the Holy Spirit and to what God is saying, to the Word of God. Learn what submission is. The Bible says, Ephesians, that we must submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. There's a place of submission that we must come to. This is not, you don't submit to me or to Pastor Fred, but you submit to God when God is speaking. I just want to talk about covering a little bit. The kingdom of God is not a democracy. It's not about, we don't vote and make a decision. We listen to what God says, and then we act on the instruction of what God is saying to us. There are people that is in our cell groups, they're part of our church, but then they go to a house group to receive from them. You move out of the covering, you open yourself up, and the devil's going to, I have your pak here, I have your seer begin maak. And we just ask you, just realize that you move out of the covering, you're going to, you might just get a little bit deceived, and a little bit of deception can bring quite a bit of harm. And then, what I just want to mention, some distractions, and this morning, I set my alarm instead of AM to PM. But luckily the Holy Spirit woke me up and I came down and I started writing and I went down to lie again and then, not yet, I had to go down and then I just was awake since early this morning and just a few things that God just showed me that I want to share with you. I myself love Hebrew teaching. I think it's fascinating, it's interesting. You get to know the heart of who God is. You understand God's culture, how he imparted it to the Jews. It's really interesting. There was a man, Rowley Bays. His wife is a director at MediClinic. His wife is, she's got Canaan Ministries. I don't know if you know who they are, but they showed us how Shabbat works. Shabbat that the Jews have on a Friday, you wash your hands and it means the sin that you, there's no sin that you have. And then you'd sit down as a family and you put salt over the bread, and that means we are salt of the earth in the New Testament terms. And you break the bread and you drink wine, and the fathers speak a blessing over the children. It's beautiful symbolism that they use. Children, apparently, the man might live in Jerusalem, and the one child lives in Canada and the other one in Australia, but they all wake up when they know the father is doing Shabbat, and they phone the father and say, "Father, speak the blessing over me." Beautiful symbolism. But I just want to warn you, there are people who get deceived because of these things. They get so involved and their focus becomes so on the Hebrew teaching that they actually fall away. I know of a lady, she was baptized, spirit-filled, spoke in tongues, completely sold out to Jesus, who got into this. She renounced Jesus in the end. She's just wearing clothes, lapa umakup. You can only see her eyes. And she is now in Kabbalah. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's a occultic thing where you call on the name, the Hebrew names of God, to do occultic things. I know of men who got circumcised again because they got so into the Hebrew thing. So when you look at these things, be careful. Don't take someone that hasn't been baptized to teachings like that. And I almost want to say, be very careful where you go with this. Then also just the grace message is amazing. We teach it the whole of last year, but grace out of context, sometimes people say there's no condemnation in Christ, which exactly it is. There's no condemnation, but then they say there's no consequences to sin. And then it says there's no hell anymore. And there's a teacher in Stellenbosch that said that. So just bear it in context once again, that we just look at all of the Bible. Don't go to so many teachings. Rather spend that time to read the Word. I think it's much safer to just read the Word instead of going to all these different teachings and listen. Maybe if there's a guy, go, that's fine. But don't go to every doctrine. And I just want to read you 2 Timothy, verse 4, if it's on the... For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. So as long as our focus is on people, and we focus on people, even if you're not an evangelist, but we pray for people, you are friendly to people, when new people come into the cell, we bless the people, we should be safe. You see, as always says, you get a false teacher and you get a false prophet, but you don't get a false evangelist. So as long as our focus is on the vision of Shofar, you will not get, I believe we will not get deceived. Sorry, I'm... Then 1 Timothy 4 verse 7 says, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather train yourself for godliness. And this is my introduction to the sermon that I want to go to. But this morning I got woken up and I came down and I wrote this down. I just felt the Holy Spirit saying to me, people get drawn away. Of not just like the search for knowledge draw people away from his goodness and his mercy. And there's an elitism that comes from this. It's a certain knowledge that only certain people have, that you don't have. And because of it's because of this knowledge that you don't have. And then the word Gnosticism came to mind. And I just quickly searched on the internet. And Gnosticism means it's about the knowledge. The Greek word for Gnosticism means to know. So just there's a demonic spirit that can connect to you with these things. I just want you to be drawn to that. But the first thing that God said to me this morning was, people, sinners, were drawn to Jesus because of his godliness, his characteristics, not because of his knowledge. And the New Testament was written in Greek so that the world can understand. It wasn't written in Hebrew so that the Hebrew people could understand it. Also, what I just, and you don't need Hebrew to understand the Bible, but you need the Spirit of God to understand the Bible. That's what I really believe that God told me this morning. So my message this morning is the face in the mirror. On a lighter note, I just want to tell you the story. This lady is in Stellenbosch, and a taxi drives in front of her. She drives a Merc, and she just loses completely. And this guy screams at her, and she can't help herself, but she threw her finger at this guy, and this guy like did something back, and she threw another finger at him, and then she lost it completely, and now she's like screaming at this person. The next moment, a policeman pulls her off, and he says to her, "Lady, sorry." He arrests her, and she says, "Why are you arresting me?" And he takes her to the police station in Stellenbosch, and she says, "What's the charge?" "No, it's for motor vehicle theft." She says, "Can I just phone my husband?" Because she couldn't prove that the car was hers. So she phoned her husband. He's got to drive from Cape Town back to Stellenbosch to their home to get the papers. He comes to the police station. He gives the papers that this is my wife's car, and the policeman says, I'm so sorry, lady. I'm really sorry. I made a massive mistake. You're free to go. I made a massive mistake." And she said, no, fine. And she got the fright of her life. "But why? Why did you think I stole this car? I mean, I'm really neatly dressed. I know it's a Merc, but did I look like someone that stole this car?" She said, "No, lady, on your screen, your registration numbers that said, 'What would Jesus do?' WP, and the sticker that said, 'I love Jesus,' and this car is protected by Psalm 91. And I thought, that person can't be a Christian. So I arrested you. So, and I want to ask you this morning, if you were charged and go to the court of being a Christian, what would the evidence be against you that you are a Christian? How would you be convicted of being a Christian? What would the actions be? We many times judge people on their actions, but we ourselves want to be judged on our intentions. Like men, and don't do what I do. Luckily, Annette, one child is sick, so she can't be here. But don't come home and take the church flowers and give it to your wife. I know it's a sin. I must repent of that. And or come home and say to your wife, "Yes, ek wou graag vir jou blomme gekoop het." Rather just keep quiet. Buy the flowers if you want to do it. You know, don't tell her, "I want you to do it," and you don't do it. You know what I'm saying? And Dion did it in his cell, and I asked him if he wouldn't mind me doing it. But I'm going, because you didn't come and sit in front here, I just want to ask you, Darkian, what are you seeing when you look at this mirror? You see yourself. What do you see when you look at Dirk-Jan Renee? Yeah, I just want to ask you, if you can maybe see yourself, what do you see when you look at yourself? Kom Piet, wat sien jy? Môre pa. Yeah, that's what I thought as well. I want to ask you this morning, maybe I just said that you guys don't feel out. Hello, Jock and Tanya. When we look at ourselves, we have a perception of who we are, but how do other people look at us? And what is the perception that they have of who we are? And I think it's safe sometimes to ask your wife or your husband the same question. What do they see? How people look at you? And I think for me, I had some... I actually crossed it out, but I just actually want to share this as well, where someone from my past, the ex-girlfriend, heard that I was saved and I was in ministry, and she said, apparently, I cried afterwards. I felt so embarrassed, but I was the most evil guy that she knew. You know, I thought I was always such a nice guy, even when I was unsaved. But it was a massive knock to me. And you know, especially after your family was a bit upset with you as well. And you can see they're not impressed with you. And then you think, for me, if we go out there, everyone was drawn to Jesus. There was something about him that drawn people to him. And for us, our challenge is the godliness, to become more like Jesus. Not because of the knowledge that we have, but it's to become more like him. And this is what my sermon is this morning. James 1 verse 22 says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and preserves, being no hearer who forgets but a doer who acts, will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. A hearer of the word will deceive themselves and they will not be a blessing on him. A doer of the word, they will be a blessing on that person. Many people, after years, they've been Christians, but they still have those blind spots because they don't allow God to come and transform them, to come and renew who they are. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12 and 13 says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abides, but these three, the greatest is love." I saw an old friend of mine. I can maybe just tell a story about him. We did the SAP course. I don't know if you know about SAP. We did it together, and I took him paddling out here from Gordon's Bay to Royals, and he said he was a K1 paddler, so he could paddle. But when we got into the sea, he never told me he never paddled really in the sea. And what he didn't tell me, he couldn't swim. And he fell off his boat and he couldn't get back on because of the waves. And we were panicking a little bit. And I said to him, "Just leave the boat. We can always swim out and fetch the boat later." And he said to me, luckily I could calm him down. He could get back on the boat with his feet in the water. We started slowly paddling back. And as we were paddling, I saw this water in the end. I thought, "What was that?" And we came a bit closer, and it was a whale coming towards us like this. And he's from Gauteng, and he said to me, want to know?" And I said, "You go left," and I went to the right-hand side. And you could see the eye of this whale. It was so huge that we went past it. But then we jumped on the back of this whale, and he would take his tail and throw us over his head into the water. And we swim around and get in his tail. Okay, I'm lying about that. But that's what we told the people afterwards, and they laughed and they thought it was really, really, they couldn't believe it. So Pete and I, we've been really great friends. We just connected. He's an amazing guy. And now he heard I'm in a ministry, and he wants to know what do we teach. And he said to me, "So what do you believe about the choice? Patrick, what do you call that thing? The Armenian and the Calvinistic view? What is that thing again?" Come on, you must know. But it's the Calvins say that God chooses divinely who's going to go to heaven, and not in the Armenian view says that God has chosen everyone, but we have a choice to make. Now, he feels the Calvin way, and now he's like, no, I don't think your doctrine is sound. And I, just coming back to my verse here that I wanted to say, we all know in part. We look in the mirror, we see dimly, we will never know the truth. But God saying faith, hope, and love, those things are important, but the greatest of these is love. We might be off with some of our doctrine, but if our love, our faith, we hope in who Jesus is, if that is there, then those other things actually isn't that important, as long as we go to heaven. Amen? So what I want to present to you is that we must become less than who we are. When we look in that mirror, that you don't see a good-looking face, but you see Jesus in that face. But more important, when other people look in at you, that they will see Jesus. When they look at you and they think, "I want to talk to you," and then you can speak into their lives, that there's something about you that really draws people to you, that they know this person knows who Jesus is. And it's not the knowledge that will convict them, it's the love that we have in our hearts to him. To become more like Jesus. Sorry, I've been sick, and to God, it feels like God healed me, but now I can't speak properly. 1 John says, "Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth." I think this is such a big challenge to us, that we love not about things that we say, but the things that we do, that people will know that we love from the inside out. Ephesians 5 says, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Romans 12 verse 2 says that we must be transformed by the renewal of our mind. As we come more and become more like God and we become doers of the word and not hearers only, our mind get renewed and we're being transformed to be more who Jesus is. And then 2 Timothy 2 verse 22, this verse sums my whole sermon up completely. Flee youthful passions, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Righteousness, we know we are righteous in Christ Jesus. We are righteous. We can stand before God the Father as Jesus can because of the blood of the Lamb. We can stand because of Jesus died on the cross, we are righteous. But we also live righteous lives. That people can see that's a righteous man because he lived the lifestyle. Faith, we grow in our faith. We start climbing out of the boat and start walking on water. Start writing down your prayers. Say, thank you, Lord God. I pray, this is the date, this is what I prayed for. And then when God answers the prayer, you put the date. And when you come back to that book, you are amazed how God has been coming through for you. But don't pray for your own needs. Pray for other people's needs. See how many people's got houses already that I've prayed for. It's amazing how God comes through for us when we start praying for other people's needs. We always put their needs in front. If you are sick, pray for someone else that is sick. Even if you see us at one foundation, Foundations 4 said, you know, if there's a demon wanting to manifest in you, just say to him, be still in Jesus' name, I'll deal with you afterwards, and you go and cast out the other demons. And that's the mindset that you must have. Not focus on yourself, focus the whole time on other people. As you follow God, He will start sorting out those things in your heart. Love, the choice that we must make to love. Andrew spent a lot of time on that. We must make the choice to start loving people around us. And then peace, to be peacemakers, where we go, that we bring peace. That we even if we sit in the office, that we pray and ask God for His peace to be in that place. Where we live, if we've got difficult neighbors, that we really pray for our neighbors, for people that we work with. We pray that people experience God's peace, that they want to be there where we are. John 3:30 said that Jesus must become more and we must decrease. Jesus must increase and we must decrease. So, this morning, stock taking, where are we? Many times, we can't come to that place where God wants us to be because of a hurt or a sore that is in our hearts. Something like bitterness. There's so much bitterness in your heart, and that's a result of unforgiveness. You can't forgive people. There's someone that you can't forgive. This unforgiveness, resentment, retaliation, anger, wrath, hatred is because the result of that will be bitterness. And because you have that bitterness, you can't really come to that place of loving people around you because your heart is still sore. And that we deal with these things, that we bring it before Jesus. The other one that I just want to, that I felt I want to share this morning is envy and jealousy. The Bible calls it covetousness. And I know some of the ladies struggle with this. They look at other people's houses and say, yes, we also need a bigger house because the children must have somewhere to play. And what about us? And we only drive a golf and we've got 5 children and they don't even have children. They've got a combi and they get so upset with people. And I was with Mariska's brother. He had malaria. He still's got malaria, but he's much better now. And his mom said, now I can see why you're such a godly woman, Mariska, because your mother is a big blessing. And she just said, yeah, when these things doesn't mean anything when your child is sick, because they thought he was going to die. He was on the brink. He said himself, he said he didn't want to live anymore. It was too tough. The malaria, apparently malaria is terrible. And then you realize that all these things doesn't matter. As long as, I mean, there's how many people that take a taxi to come to work and people worry about whether they drive a Mercedes or a Golf. But once you drive a taxi to get to work, then it puts things much more in perspective. As long as you have a roof over your head, we must rejoice and say thank you to God. If you can be happy about the small things, God will bless you later on with the big things. I truly believe God wants to give us the big houses and the big, all these stuff, but we complain because that one's got that and this one's got that and why don't we have it? And I really believe that keeping up with the Joneses is a sin and God dislike it because pride comes from that. And you see these people that only talk to the rich people because they want to be like that. There are people who, my best friend's wife said to him, he can't be friends with me because I'm poor and he must rather spend time with the rich people. And we've been friends. We were at school here together. We've come so many years together and I was very sad about that. The other one is rejection. Now, rejection is something that leaves a lasting scar in your life. When I was in Standard 7 in Hartbeespoort Holland High School, there was a girl that I liked. She was a year younger than me. And everyone knew that I liked her because they could see it in my face. But she liked my best friend, Alan. And Alan liked her. And everyone knew except me. And only a week later, I found out about it. And a week in school is like a lifetime. And I was so embarrassed when I found out about it. Everyone knew about this. And I felt so rejected by her, by Alan, and by my friends because no one told me. It was terrible for me. But rejection is one of those things that, you know, when a kid has been left at school, it leaves a scar there. And it becomes a cycle of rejection where this person just feel, sometimes it could be even an attractive person, but they feel so rejected. Or they've gone through divorce, or someone died, or whatever could have happened, they feel really hurt. And I just got a word this morning as well. I just want to just share it here. I really feel there's a lady that had rejection and wants a hug from a father for some reason. And if you want to respond at the end of this sermon, so that one of the older men can just maybe with their wife will pray with you. Then the other thing that I also want to mention is addictions. Drugs and alcohol and cigarettes, also for the men as well, masturbation and porn and women eating disorders, those things will leave you condemned and ashamed and you will never come to the place that God wants you to be. And this is something that, bring it before God. God wants to sort it out in your life. Fear, when fear and faith will always be opposite one another. Both consume you, in faith or in fear. Fear is from the Lord. Faith is from the Lord, fear is from the devil. It will always make you want to be afraid of things, of what will happen in the future. You don't have a control of it anyway. If you fear, it will happen to you. If you have faith and you believe in Jesus, it will happen to you. And then in something else as well, some people are very godly, but they're like a vacuum cleaner. They suck you dry. And they just go, when you go into their presence, they go, and they don't stop. And you just, next time you see that person, you don't want to go close to them because when they come, they put that vacuum cleaner on and they suck you. So just be careful that we don't become like that as well. That when you meet people, ask them questions and listen to what they say. Don't ask them a question and then just wait until you can tell your story to them as well. So those are all things that is a result of a brokenness in your heart. And Psalm 103 is one of those verses that just really ministered to me for many years. It's, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you from steadfast love and mercy. And, you know, for men who struggle with lust, I think, I will never get over this. But God's saying, he forgives you all your iniquities, he heals all your diseases, not some of them. God wants to heal you of all those things. So bring it before God. God will take these things away. Ephesians 4 verse 31 and 32 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. I'm running a bit out of time, so I just want to read Romans 12 verse 9 to 21 with you. And if we can just, I know it's a bit small, that's why I ask you to come forward. But this is this is what Paul is saying to us to do. And I'm just going to read it slowly as well. If you want to turn to your Bible, you're also welcome. me just take a sip then. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who weep. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, that's pride, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We can only do these things. I really believe that when we abide in Christ and Christ in us. Go and read John 15. Jesus is the branch and we are, he's the vine and we are the branches. If we abide in him, we will bear much fruit. And if we don't have fruit, he will come and prune us so that we can bear much fruit. How do we know if we have fruit? If we abide in Christ, if Christ is in us, we look at the fruit of the Spirit. And I've been flashing this scripture quite often, that we keep it on, please, that love, do we have love for people? If it's not there, then the fruit of the Spirit is not in you. Joy, the joy of the Lord is our strength. We must have joy. There's an excitement because we are saved. We're going to heaven all the time, not some of the time. There must be a joy in us. There must be peace. In other words, anxiousness is not a fruit of the Spirit. When you start getting like this, and you, this one must help you, and then this one must listen, you go this one to pray. That's not peace. Patience. All of us will get there eventually. Just wait on the Lord. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and then self-control as well. Self-control also with these addictions as well. So please come and pray for me for coffee and don't offer me afterwards because I won't say yes. Okay, so if you struggle, and you know, I think Susan's husband is my colleague now. There's my Susan, eh? Mark's wife? Linda. Sorry, Linda. Mark is one of my new colleagues, and he's a massive blessing. And he said to me the one day that was really, it actually changed my way of thinking as well about this, and it really adds to the point that I want to make, that when people came to God and asked him about how do we go to heaven, he would say, do the commandments. And he said, but I'm doing the commandments. Then Jesus would say, but sell your stuff and then follow me. But, and then the guy can't do that. And, or he will say, do my commandments. And then he says, yes, but if you have hatred in your heart, you're like a murderer. And a murderer will not go into heaven. And then, so, or if you look with a woman with lustful eyes, you're like an adulterer. And so what Jesus was doing was always just putting the bar a little too high for us. No one can attain it. Not one of us can do any of these things. We can't do it. We can only do it in Jesus. So what Jesus was doing, he was always just pointing at him. So none of us can have joy all the time. It's physically impossible for us to do it, but only Jesus can do it. It's only through his Spirit. And this is what we're asking, is when we come to worship, that we don't stand like this. Open your spirit so that the Spirit can start changing in you, that God can start doing a new work in you. When there's an altar call and you feel, oh, I must actually respond to that, come forward. Just let someone pray over you. It's not because of the person who's praying for you. When you walk here, God's already done the work in you. because God wants to start transforming who you are. He wants to start reminding you. He wants to start creating a new spirit in you. But sometimes we just resist who God is, and we do this, and then actually just a hearer of the word, and we're not a doer of the word. And that's why we invite people to come forward, to say, come forward so the Spirit can start doing a new work in you. So this morning, I want to say, if you agree with this, that Psalm 51 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. The Spirit of God, God wants to give us one heart and a new spirit. He wants to remove the heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh, that we can follow His ways and obey His rules, and we can be His children, and He can be our Father. But God says, it's not by spirit, it's not by might, nor by power, nor by the stuff that we can do for Him, but it is by His Spirit. Joel 2, verse 28 says, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and the female servants in those days, I will pour out my Spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. And the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on my name, see, not those who are chosen, everyone, that's for Pete, who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in the Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said. Among the survivors shall be those who the Lord calls. And this is, maybe one should have read this before 21 May. But before the end times, or before God's judgment come, He's going to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. And those who make the choice for Jesus is going to experience amazing stuff. People's going to be healed. People's going to, in Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. So in that place, and to comfort all who mourn, and from that place we will go and we will build up the ancient ruins, and they shall raise up former devastations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. And this is my heart's cry for us as a church, for the Spirit of God to be poured out on all of us. From that place, we will go out and bring healing and deliverance and love to everyone around us. And this is the mission for us. This is the vision that we have, and this is what God has called us for. Not to focus on small areas of things. All those things are very important, to bring all of them into line of who Jesus is. That we always point to Jesus. If someone needs deliverance, we pray for them in Jesus' name, and we point them, this is Jesus who delivered you. If someone needs healing, we lay hands on them and we pray for them. If they get healed, we say, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, that you healed them. And this is what our focus is. And that we don't just focus on one of these things, but our focus is on all of these things, because it's not us that do it, it's the Spirit of God that does it. And Isaiah 6, verse 8, I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? I just want to repeat that. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And if you this morning saying, here I am, send me. If you agree with that, you can just say, amen, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Can we just close up? Maybe we can, if you just want to stand with us. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that this morning, Lord, we're speaking to doers of the word, Lord God, and not hearers only, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that, Lord, these people, Lord God, is not the people, Lord God, that are hearers, Lord, but these are the people that go, Lord. Father, I just bless you, Lord God. And Father, we just bless them this morning, Lord God. And we just thank you, Lord God. And Father, once again, we just pray, Lord God, for you to pour out your Holy Spirit on us, Lord God. To just come to that place, Lord, where you have called us, Lord, to just, Father, to go, Lord God, and make disciples, Lord, and baptize them, Lord, and teach them, Lord God. And Lord God, for us to be accountable to one another, Lord, and pursue, Father God, a place of holiness, Lord God, to walk in righteousness, in faith, Lord God, in love, Lord God, in peace, Lord God, and to call to you, Lord God, with brothers, Lord God, and sisters who from a pure heart, Lord God. And Father, I pray, Lord God, that Lord, that we will not be, when people look at us, not think, oh, that person is so unfriendly, or why didn't they speak to me? But that we will just be, the friendliness will come from us, Lord God. The joy of the Lord will be in us, Lord God. That, Father, that we will love everyone, Lord. That we will bless our enemies, Lord God. But Father, that we will go beyond that, Lord God. That our enemies will become our brothers, Lord God. And that we will love them, Lord God, and we will bless them, Lord God. Father, that we will not hold on to things that happened in the past, Lord God, but we will just release it and give it to you, Lord God. That we will give these anger and resentment and things that people did against us, Lord God, that we will forgive them, Lord God, and just give it to you, Lord. Father, that we, when people look at us, Lord God, they will see Jesus, Lord God, and that we will become less, Lord God, and you will become more, Lord. And Father, we just want to give you all the honor and glory, Lord God, and thank you for what you've done in our lives, Lord. Yes, Father, and I just maybe just if someone feels they want to respond, but they just want to respond to Jesus. They want to know Jesus. If maybe you, I'm not going to call you forward, but you know that you want to give your heart to Jesus. You maybe have heard about him. You maybe have been going to church, but you don't have a relationship where Jesus wakes you up in the morning or at night and he starts speaking to you. You have never heard his voice like that. And you know there's something about that. You want that as well. If you this morning want to start serving Jesus, you want to give your heart to Jesus, you want to become born again, you're saying you can't live this lifestyle anymore. I don't want to live like this anymore. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to become a Christian and allow God to start changing my heart and to deal with all these hurts in my heart and to take away the stuff that has happened in my past, so that I can have a future and a blessing in the future, that God can deal with me. If you are that person this morning, can you just raise your hand? If you this morning want to give your heart to Jesus. If you by any means feel that you're just embarrassed and you want to maybe come forward afterwards, you're more than welcome to come to one of the facilitators. Maybe you struggle with bitterness, unforgiveness, or anger, and you wanted someone to pray with you, or this jealousy thing, this envy thing, this covetousness thing. You always looking at what other people drive, or their houses, or what they earn, and you want to bring it into the light. I want you to respond so that we can pray with you, bring it into the light. And then especially rejections. This is for a lady this morning that feels that she's been hurt really badly, and you want someone to just pray with you and just minister the love of God to you. I just want you to respond to that. We'll probably just have a lady to pray with you, but if you have a heart to just have someone to just give you a hug, that you just come forward and respond to that. And I just want to ask that if you know you've been critical about people, always speaking negatively about people and not blessing them, that you also bring this into the light. Just come and ask someone to pray over you and bring it before God. And then I just want to pray, if you know you're self-centered, you just focus on your own, me and myself, and you realize this is something that consumes you, you want to bring that before God. I just want to ask you to come forward, and if the facilitators can just come forward so that people won't feel embarrassed, but we want to pray with you and we want to bless you. Father, thank you, Lord God, as these people come forward, Lord, that we can just bring our love before you, Lord God. And Father, we can just speak a blessing, Lord God, over every person who are here, Lord God. And Father, thank you that people will know that we serve you, Lord, that we are your disciples because of the love that we have for one another, Lord. We just thank you for your blessing. Thank you for this church, Lord God. Thank you for the vision that you've given this church, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, that we are family, Lord God. And Lord God, that we are brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord God. And Father, I just really believe that you want to bring so many people, Lord God, to bring them to a place of healing, Lord God, of love, Lord God, because I've never known family, Lord God. And Father, thank you that you are showing us what it's like to be family. We're brothers and sisters and mothers and spiritual fathers and mothers, Lord God, where we can have spiritual fathers and mothers, but where many people never had a proper father or mother to impart in their lives, Lord. Father, we just bless you. We bless you, Lord, this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. If you want some coffee or tea, you're more than welcome. And I want to invite those people, if you want prayer, to come forward so that we can pray with you.